Say, kids, what time is it?
It's time for Charles Rotblat, editor of the American Association of Individual Investors Journal.
Holy mackerel!
Each week on Tuesdays, Charles joins us here on Money Life to give us the buy of the week.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And now, here's Charles Rotblat.
Sir, do we get to win this time?
And I'm pleased to say that Charles is back this week. We had a lot of fun with Wayne Thorpe from Computerized Investing, who was in last week. And then you got to hear more as well. We like it when people talk about the buy of the week or the sell of the week in other segments. And we had that happen on yesterday's show when Josh Strauss from the Appleseed Fund was talking about Gentex, Wayne's buy of the week. Didn't quite see eye to eye, but that's, we say disagreement makes a market. But one thing that nobody disagrees about is that the American Association of Individual Investors is out there working on behalf of you to try to help you learn and become a better investor. Charles Rotblat is the editor of AAII Journal. He is the author of Better Good Than Lucky, and he's a vice president of the organization. And if you want more information on the journal or the organization, it's AAII.com. You can also follow him on Twitter, where he is at Charles Rotblat. Charles, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Our buy of the week is
Michael Kors Limited.
Michael Kors Limited. That, of course, is ticker symbol KORS. And, of course, some folks may not know this company. Others may wish that if it had been the sell of the week, we could have played Heidi Klum saying Auf Wiedersehen or whatever she does, where Michael Kors is a judge on Project Runway. But why is this on the runway and taking off right now?
Well, this week, a key theme is going to be business models, what a company does to make money. And I usually don't start off buys of the week with caveats, but this week I'm going to, because this stock has appeared as a candidate for a stock superstars report, and we've traditionally passed on this stock because four guys manage the portfolio, including myself, and none of us really know the trends in high-end purses. So by the numbers, this is a really good stock, but I think for anybody considering it, they have to stop and think, what do they know about luxury women's accessories? In my case, I see why this is a good stock. I see why people like it. But I'm also cognizant that I have no way of knowing when these purses will go in or go out of style. And I don't want to base my investment on going to my wife every week. Is this still the new hot new product? So I do want to start with that caveat. And it's always very important to consider whenever you look at a company.
So we've got that basic concern. However, what you have once you dig into the outer shell of the purse here is some numbers that you like.
Some very strong numbers. This was identified by our Value on the Move PEG with estimated growth screen, which has done extremely well this year. The stock has a PEG ratio of 1.0, which matches the criteria the screen looks for. It also looks for strong relative strength. And this stock, over the last 26 weeks, has a relative strength score of 84, meaning it's outperformed 84% of all other companies. You are paying a higher PE ratio for this company, but it also has strong growth. For its last quarter, it had retail same-store sales that grew 54.5%, and its retail stores account for about half of its total revenues. They saw growth of 27.3%. The company is profitable, but it's also cash flow positive, and that's important because sometimes you see these companies with very strong growth, but they're not cash flow positive because they're taking all the cash, reinvesting in the company, and the growth is sucking up all the cash. And it's not necessarily a bad thing if the company's growing, but if you can get growth and positive cash flows, that's really a good thing, and that's what this company has. It does most of its sales in North America. It does Japan accounts for a good portion. So does Europe. And it struck deals to actually expand into areas such as China. So this is a fundamentally sound company. You are paying up in terms of PE for the growth, but when you look at the company relative to future expectations, it's actually reasonably priced.
How economically sensitive is this? I mean, if the market has peaked and that means it's going down, you would think a stock like this is going to wind up taking a hammering in an economy that turns sour. If the market is going to keep rising, I mean, what's going to be your sell trigger on this, since you can't necessarily say, oh, I'm fashionable?
Well, I think there's a couple things here. You do want to keep an eye on the valuation, particularly on the PEG ratio, and make sure the stock doesn't get ahead of expectations. And that's one thing we do see quite often with these momentum stocks, is that not only are they doing well, but people expect them to be doing so well in the future that the price gets ahead of projected growth. And you can look at the PEG ratio in that scenario. That hasn't happened with Michael Kors. There certainly is an economic component. If the economy slows down, you might see sales drop, or at least the rate of sales growth slow, because women might decide, I have this wallet, I have this purse, it's good enough. I don't need to spend the extra several hundred dollars on a replacement. So there is that concern on here. I would also watch how the company is doing relative to expectations. During the past two quarters, the company has topped analyst expectations by margins of about 23-24% or higher. So if you see the company beating expectations but only by about 5%, that might mean they're not doing as good of a job as exceeding analyst forecasts. Anytime you're in a situation, you also need to watch forward-looking guidance, because this could be a case where the company beats expectations, gives good what seems to be good guidance, but if it's not high enough, you run into that scenario where people get disappointed. And I think, again, that's where you look at the PEG ratio, where it's not so far ahead of itself that people are expecting just blockbuster numbers, so blockbuster that the company can't meet them because expectations are just too high.
So what is the expectation here? I mean, what's a reasonable expectation for where this stock can go?
Well, it's interesting. When I looked at the PEG ratios for both the apparel accessories industry and for the consumer cyclical, I saw PEGs of 1.5 and PEGs of 1.2. It's easy to take a look at the company and say, well, if the median PEG for the apparel accessories industry is 1.5 and Michael Kors has a PEG ratio of 1.0, it should be 50% higher. And certainly based on the growth, I could see that argument. But I think that's a very aggressive stance. I would go with the more conservative number, assume a PEG of 1.2, which is just 20% upside. And again, watch the guidance and the earnings surprises going forward.
Well, anytime you can get a 20% upside, you're going to be pretty happy. And if you're doing it on a stock that has the potential for 50, nice. But you have to worry, because maybe you don't know purse trends any better than Charles.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Yeah, he may have a brand new bag, but he's got a buy of the week, and it's Michael Kors, K-O-R-S. Charles Roteblatt, editor of AAII Journal. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I look forward to it.
Up next on Money Life, it's Jack Bogle. Nothing more needs to be said. This is Money Life.